Chapter 10, First Strike. The ground rumbled as they advanced, beating a slow, irregular rhythm. Iron plates as thick as a man's thumb rang against one another, covering the enormous beasts they protected like insect shells. Perched atop his walking mountain of flesh and iron, General Helmach peered through the tube of the far-seeing lens and tried to confirm his scout's reports. The High Council had ordered a coordinated assault to begin on the first day of springtime, but they had not been privy to the reports he had been given. Kadrin forces were marching to reinforce Temple Hill, his intended target for the invasion's first strike. The city was reported to be nearly deserted, with the peasants fleeing to the interior of the empire with whatever they could carry. They were staffed with their normal garrison, and the city would normally be fine to hold off a siege for a few days until help arrived. That was why they sent the Monohorn Cavalry. 300 monstrosities lumbered along under Helmach's command, the largest such force in the Magrin Alliance. 10,000 infantry supported them, with regiments from most of the kingdoms of the Alliance represented. 2,000 archers were along as well, but they would play a larger role in holding the city once it was taken. Helmach's army did not have any siege weapons in the traditional sense, not even any of Counselor Jinzan's new weapons, which Helmach quite admired. But the Monohorns had provisions that rendered those optional. With the prospect of facing a larger force if he delayed, Helmach took it upon himself to order the attack a day early. On the walls, spotters had been watching the approaching Magrin force uneasily. Temple Hill had prepared its soldiers to be ready to defend the Empire, as they were on the front lines of its defense. But drilling in the practice yard with spears and shooting arrows into hay bales was unlike the prospect of facing a charge by Monohorn cavalry. "They are getting close. This looks like the real thing," Colonel Polark called out to the archers along the battlements. "They would not risk entering our range if they did not intend to continue forward. Bows to the ready, men. Await my command." All along the walls, soldiers and knights ended what respites they had been taking and got to their feet. There were 400 of them left in the city. The rest had gone south to escort the peasantry to Mune, which was better prepared to withstand Magrin's army. Once they had seen the peasants safely removed, they had been told to turn north and head back to Temple Hill. If all was going to plan, their return was what had prompted the Magrin to attack early.
"Looks like many of the ones up on the wall are knights, sir." Lieutenant Carva handed the far-seeing lens back to the general. "Maybe close to half."
"They must see us with monohorns and know that the fighting will be within the city gates soon, no matter how many archers they put up there. The knights just want a better view in the meantime," General Helmach said.
The monohorns were armored to stop ballistae, so arrows were nothing to them. Even the eyes of their ponderous helms were shielded with mesh cages, too tight for an arrow to slip through. The creatures did not see especially well to begin with, so the obstructed view was no great loss. Carva and Helmach watched as a crew worked with a mobile crane to lift a great battering ram into the yokes of two pair of monohorns. The device was the closest they came to a proper siege engine, and they brought but one with them. That was more than enough, according to the logistics officers who had to manage the massive, unwieldy weapon. Four docile monohorns stood by, as 24 infantrymen swarmed about them, the footings of a small construction site. The caged eyes of the monohorn helms had solid cups that could be raised and lowered to blind the creatures completely. So long as they went uninjured, being blind caused them to freeze in place. Eons of evolution had made them instinctively fearful of loose footing and not seeing where they were walking. It made the work safer if the beasts kept still. Once the ram was in place, Helmach ordered the advance. The monohorns with the ram took the fore, and the bulk of the heavy cavalry followed a short distance behind. Monohorns were not swift beasts, but they could work up to a brisk pace with enough room. They were also not agile beasts, being somewhat more nimble than turtles, elderly turtles at the least. However, what they lacked in speed was more than compensated for in their titanic strength and near imperviousness to most weapons, They carried hundreds of gallons of armor on their backs, and riders as well, without showing the least burden. Strip the armor off, and their hides could still turn aside many sword blows. The four with the ram were larger than average specimens, and barely slowed by a ram that must have weighed 1,000 gallons. The Cadrans did not even bother them with many arrows as they closed the distance to the gates.
"Off the wall! We're done!" Colonel Polark ordered. "Light the ropes and mount up. Get to the south gate. Your lives depend on it."
The colonel then followed his own advice and slid down a ladder to ground level. All around him, men were untethering horses that had been set waiting for them in the streets. There were enough for every man to make his escape if they hurried. The Magrin force was hurrying to arrive in the city before Cadran reinforcements could get there, and had not taken the time to surround the city with even a token force prior to attacking. Marshal Brannis's plan had counted on that. On the wall and in the city just inside it, catapults filled with fist-sized rocks stood ready to be fired. They had all been rigged with oil-soaked ropes and piled with kindling. When the long length of rope finally burned through, the catapults would fire and then be set afire. The rocks would slow the monohorn charge and might incidentally kill a few if they lost their footing at full run. As he mounted his white mare, Colonel Polark looked to the city gate. The runes that normally reinforced it had been scratched to ruins, leaving the gate nothing but a thick wooden barricade. It would stand against the Magrin ram as well as a wicker basket might against a smith's hammer. Though it would cost him his life to stay, the colonel wished he could be there when the monohorns crashed through that gate and into the massive pit dug just beyond it. Colonel Polark spurred his mount and galloped for the southern gate, near the rear of the organized retreat. He grinned wickedly when he heard the crash of splintered wood and the great bellowing screams of the monohorns. By nightfall, his force would meet up with the reinforcements coming up the road toward them, and they would all make for Mune to make a stand in earnest.